This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chimney Chekwa. The show is always brought to you by Bet Online. Chim Hennon with the ad.
So with NFL playoffs right around the corner and the NBA season in full swing, Bet Online has you covered with all the up-to-the-second odds, news, and scores. With additional odds, lines, and trends and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get in on the action and see all the updated odds. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Yep, so this is Believe in Buckeyes, Brian Browning and Chimney Chekwa. We got to talk about the news, man. There's news around the Ohio State program. I'm not going to say we got the guy, but we definitely got a guy coming in at that quarterback position out of transfer portal with Will Howard coming over from Kansas State. So, I mean, I guess our staff, Coach Day, has been working, right? We lose a guy, we get another guy, right?
Yeah, he's been working. So he had a lot of work to do. but yeah, you know, you start off, if you were to highlight where some of the biggest struggles came, it was in the offensive line, some inconsistency at the quarterback position. So, you know, we're able to find a guy who's been playing that quarterback position for a few years now. This is going to be his fifth year. He started a lot over there at Kansas State, and he's done a pretty solid job at playing that position. So they got what they needed. You know, it was kind of interesting. It seemed like they were waiting until after the bowl game, giving the guys that were in the room to get an opportunity to compete and show what they can do. But I have to imagine that they were probably in discussions prior to the bowl game. But either way, they were able to get it done. And, yeah, he looks to be, you know, the guy moving forward, barring any type of emergence from the two guys that are already on the roster.
Yeah, so looking at Will Howard, like I say, he has played a lot of football. So, you know, we watched a lot of his big games this season on social media, right? People are putting it out there. And we know so far that, you know, this past year, he was able to throw for 2,600 yards passing. He was able to rush for, I believe, 350 or so yards rushing. Rushing is always skewed in college, right, because of the sack, right? You get sacked, yeah. They take away your rushing yards from there. But he went on to have 24 touchdowns passing to 10 interceptions. He was able to lead his Kansas State team to a 8-4 record in the regular season. So, I mean, we had a chance to kind of look at him, right? I've been, like you say, kind of looking at him, what things he could do, what things he cannot do, what things he does well. I think the biggest thing to kind of take from Will Howard's game is that, you know, he's a big kid, capable kid, but he has some mobility to his game. He's able to run the ball, and that's something we have not seen out of the quarterback position, be frank, since Justin Fields, right? You know, we didn't allow CJ Stroud to run pretty often. Obviously, Kyle McCord really didn't have that as a part of his game, more or less. Well, he didn't show more or less that he was able to be mobile and run and things of that nature. So, that's something that we've been, you know, maybe, you know, something that we could use to our advantage to kind of keep our offense sparked with going into next year. If, you know, I gotta say if, because I mean, it's still supposed to be competition there,
yeah,
right? I guess, yeah. Maybe, right? We'll see. Still supposed to be competition for that quarterback position, but if he does get a win out, that's something definitely he could bring to his game.
Yeah, it's hard to compete with film that's already out there, right? So it's like, you know, game film. It's hard to compete with game film. So, you know, Will Howard comes in with a lot of game film. So in order for you to go into a spring game and a training camp and outperform the game film without the games, it's going to be hard to do. It's an uphill battle for those guys competing. You look at Will Howard in terms of, you know, compared to what we saw this past year, I just think he has a good feel for the pocket, right? You mentioned he can run the ball. He also can move well in the pocket. He can sense where the blitz is coming from. He can get to a spot and still step into his toes and deliver a decent ball, right? I think, you know, we saw at times McCord challenged with when he got pressure to be able to move well in that pocket and get his feet set. I feel like Will Howard's operation is pretty fast, solid footwork, decent accuracy. And then when things break down, like you mentioned, you can go run for 15, 10, 15 yards. He's not going to be CJ Stroud, Right? No. It's going to be Dwayne Haskins. Probably not going to be Justin Fields, right? He's not going to be what we're probably used to. But he gives you something to work with, one, because of his experience, and two, because, you know, his ability to move and not let the pocket collapse on him. You know, that gives you some confidence as a coach who's calling plays to say, okay, if everything goes bad, he still has a, you know, he still has a tool in his toolbox that he could still overcome it. So, I mean, I think that's what he brings to the table. And I think Ryan Day has to be excited about being able to go grab somebody, because it's not promised. The transfer portal is not promised. Somebody in that they feel confident that they can utilize in a way that to be able to execute the offense effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. So looking at his game, right? I had a chance. I'm gonna shout him out. Is it Tony Gertman? I believe he's a reporter here. He kind of did the work, and somehow I don't know how he did exactly, but he got like every throw for Will Howard in some big games. He had the Texas game, Oklahoma State game, TCU game. Those are the ones that I kind of paid the most attention to. So you got to literally just every time it's a run play with him or pass play, you got to watch it in an efficient manner. So shout out to him for that. But so watching his game, I feel that he's kind of a bit of a gunslinger type of mentality, meaning, like, I don't think he's like Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, nothing to that matter. But once he kind of decides where he wants to go with the ball, he's going to put it there. He's going to try to get it there, even if the window's not there, if he kind of saw something wrong. Once he's letting it go against Oklahoma State, I threw three interceptions. I watched it; it was like pretty bad. You know, each interception was kind of like, you know, what was he doing here, trying to do with this ball? And that's a game that kind of got down a lot early, had a chance to win it late, and he just could never make that play to kind of overcome. Game against Texas, played really well against Texas. He had four touchdowns to one interception, a lot of passing yards, not so much rushing against Texas. But obviously, Texas made it to the playoffs. They only had one loss this year. And he played that Texas team to an overtime game where they ended up coming a little bit short in overtime. But that game, he had the team on his back that game. It kind of looked like Superman that game. Looked like, I don't know, if you're watching Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, he was doing everything. His O-line was not doing well, just feel like that against the Texas defensive front. And he was able to kind of stand in there and make plays consistently and kind of, once again, keep his team in that game to get it to overtime. But I guess the biggest question around Buckeye Nation, what the people really want to know about Will Howard, is he going to be better than Kyle McCord coming in to kind of lead this Ohio State team at that quarterback position? If, once again, I got to say if he beats out our guys that's currently on the roster and get denied there. What's your thoughts on that? Are we truly upgrading at the quarterback position by bringing in Will Howard? Or should up with them dollars from the core? I don't know. What you think?
It's always tough to measure growth. So you don't, we can project and say what we think, but you don't know if Kyle McCord takes another jump in the offseason and is a better player next year. So just measuring him based on who Kyle McCord was this past season, I think he is an upgrade, primarily because, like, if Kyle McCord, the thing, he gets a lot of criticism, but Kyle McCord, you know, when he gets his feet set, when he's able to see where he wants to go and confidently deliver that ball, he can throw a really good football. But he had a lot of inconsistency where sometimes he'll see it and he'll hesitate to throw, right? Sometimes he wouldn't be able to have clean feet. He gets pressure. And then when he gets pressure on him, struggles to get his feet set a little bit. I think what the improvements happen with Will Howard is that, to me, he has really good footwork. He moves in the pocket a little bit better than what we saw this past season. And like you mentioned, when he sees it, he's going to throw that ball confidently, not hesitating. He's going to sling it. And from a coaching, you look at it from a coaching standpoint, where you draw up a play and you expect this play to come open or this read to come open. If that doesn't come open, something else is going to be open. You want that quarterback to execute that. Clean feet, get your read, make a decision. And if it's not there, get what you can get, go on to the next play. And I think that's what Will Howard gives the coaches, to be able to say, look, this is what we want to do. He's a veteran guy. He's going to understand the offense and be able to go out there with clean footwork and deliver a pass consistently over and over again. So I think from that standpoint, he is an improvement from what we saw this past year. And it's not enough, though, right? It's just quarterback wasn't enough. There are some other challenges as well. and, you know, going to have to continue to improve.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, looking at it, obviously, we know what type of weapons Ohio State brings to the table, right? So, we know what type of guys Kyle McCord was throwing the ball to. You're looking at Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Ibuka and Julian Fleming, you know, and this is the spew of guys that he was able to throw the ball to this season. I'm not too familiar with Kansas State's receiver core. No, you know, to be frank, I don't. Somebody could be NFL guy. I don't know. But watching them, you know, no one kind of, you know, kind of showed that type of talent level. So it was a difference. It was Kyle McCord able to throw for 3,100 yards this year. Like I said, I mentioned earlier, Will threw for I think like 26. So I mean, a lot could go into that, right? But you know, just looking stats to stats on who throwing the ball and things of that nature. But like I said, obviously we'll see. We'll see. I mean, obviously. We're hoping now that Will Howard's our guy and McCord decide to lead the program that, you know, he's able to improve, do the things that we want him to see out of him and be a leader and things of that nature and kind of take it from there. But there's also additional news in the transfer portal, right? We was able to get an offensive lineman, a position group that definitely could use some depth. We know that for sure. And definitely could improve from this past season. We was able to bring in Seth McLaughlin, who's played center for Alabama. 25 started every game this season and played and started games the two seasons prior as well. What do you think about Seth joining the unit, coming in as a center position? You know, we had a center this past year. What's your quick thoughts on, not quick thoughts, but what's your thoughts on Steph coming in and what are you thinking?
Yeah.
Coach Day is thinking about bringing in a center. You know, these guys had to come to get a center. You had to pay that guy, right?
Yeah, they had to go out and get him, right? And it's funny because we both know a scout out there who covers that area, an NFL scout, who as soon as he found out that Ohio State was interested in him, said, this guy isn't that good, man. He's not that I wouldn't draft him. But, my response was, we got to go get him. Like, it's, you know, one of the biggest issues this year, we talk about the inconsistency at quarterback. But really, what leads to some inconsistency at quarterback is protecting the quarterback. We saw it in the bowl game, which was worse in the bowl game because he had even reshuffled the offensive line. We saw it during the year. We saw inconsistency in the run game, really bad run blocking early in the year. And a lot of it to me was not so much guys getting blown up, although we had some of that, but it was the operation, not blocking the right guy, leaving guys in block, not identifying the right mic or whatever. And what I think what Seth brings is he brings another veteran presence. You already got Will Howard at the quarterback position, right? One of the foundational pieces of your offense. And now you go get a guy who's played center at Alabama in some of the biggest games, playoff game, et cetera. Another foundational piece of the offense from a leadership standpoint. And to me, you know, I think it's much needed. I think even whether he was a starter or a backup, I mean, looking at that bowl game, now, we talk about them starting somebody new and reshuffling the offensive line, which led to some issues, but what if somebody just got hurt? You expect them to be able to bring that guy off the bench and be able to play. So I think from a depth standpoint is needed. Maybe they still need some other guys or some of the young guys to develop more. And even at the from a starting, when it comes to the starting and just having leadership at the offensive line to make sure that, you know, guys are getting in the right spot and blocking the right guy.
Yeah, and so people out there don't know, I'm an offensive line guy. So I played tackle a year at Ohio State, played 2 years at guard, and I never played center in a game or anything like that nature. But I do understand the center position to the fact that they're very important to how the offense operates. The center, as a job and unit, usually comes up and they identify a linebacker, right? And why is that important to an offense? If it's a run play, maybe this run play – the offensive line is designed to block four guys up front, and we have a double team that's working to the Sam linebacker. Let's say that's the strong side linebacker. If the center doesn't identify that linebacker, who's the Sam, or in a lot of cases, at least who is the Mike linebacker, the play in general doesn't have the same rhythm and tune to it. So, for instance, saying it is much more important in the pass game, these kind of things. But at least you know, per play, this play is designed to block these guys. Who are we identifying as the linebacker and what position is that linebacker? And it kind of makes the offense make a lot of sense once the ball, before the ball is snapped, and for you to identify who are your responsibilities. So that center position is very important. Obviously, Seth is coming in with a ton of experience. Will he be our center next year? Do not know. We played Carson Hensman last year. This past season at center, he started every game for us except for the bowl game. And to be fair, he was a second year, the redshirt freshman. He did solid. I mean, definitely some things he could improve on, I would say. But it wasn't – offensive line wasn't a whole lot of trouble due to him being out there at the center position, for what I could tell, and watching in games and things of that nature and the snap. There's some concern about Seth and the snaps. We all watch the playoffs. He has some snapping issues. In the biggest game of the season, we'll say, for Alabama. So that's always a concern, right? You can't – the whole thing starts with a snap, so that has to be corrected and done correct, rightfully so there. So, I mean, we'll see, right? I mean, both guys looking at Carson, we know for sure that Matt Jones is going to the NFL. That was our right guard, so that position will be open. Both guys are definitely capable of playing guard if you're just looking at them size-wise. So we'll see. You know, we'll see once to kind of – it's going to be a while to be figured out, and a lot of rumors until then. But we'll have to see how that goes. But you brought to a point before we kind of started the show that we also got a third guy to transfer portal, a tight end out of Ohio University, Will Kazarmic, something of the sort, at Ohio.
Butchered
his going
name.
To his third. Yeah, I butchered his name, man. But he's a third-year guy. I could say he's 6'6", 260, so he got good size to him. But you brought up a point earlier that it seems that Coach Day is going out his way to bring in leaders out the transfer portal. You look at the quarterback, you look at the center and how important they are to an offense. Can you just kind of go into that? What does it mean to kind of bring in a leader, especially a guy with a lot of experience for this team, particularly going into next year?
Yeah, I think one of the big things, you know, when the defense underperformed, you know, against Michigan in the bowl game a couple seasons back. One of the issues was just the understanding of the defense, the leaders on defense. And another year in the system, a few guys developing, really becoming veterans. We had a very veteran defense across the board, and it showed on the field, right? One of the key challenges for Ohio State, it's just not a challenge for now. It's always going to be a challenge because I compare it to Kentucky in basketball. Kentucky has all these freshmen who are going to be John Walls and everybody who are going to NBA. They got the best talent in the sport. But then they play a team like a Butler who has four-year seniors, right? So talent-wise, these young guys are better. But team-wise, those older guys have much more cohesion and execute better. When you talk about the gap between Michigan and Ohio State, the gap is really leadership. And I think Ryan Day is on a mission to recruit leaders. He's trying to make sure he brings in guys foundationally that can help lead this team through a Michigan game, through a playoff game. You got a 12-team playoffs coming next year. Will Howard is that type of guy. In the center, Seth, you talk about the center of the offensive line, the guy who's calling out, you know, who the point is, et cetera. Whether he plays center or guard, he's going to be a leader on that offense. And that's important for this offense, who I think that's where we might have been lacking the most. From offensive line, you had a bunch of new guys in there, guys figuring it out. Quarterback, you had a first-year starter, a guy who was still trying to figure it out. I think they lack leadership. I mean, they had the guys on the edges. You had Marvin Harrison, Ibuka, you had the running back. But those aren't the guys making those calls. And you see, I think they're recruiting leadership, even from the guys who could potentially move on to NFL. Getting those guys back into the building and keeping them next year is going to be very, very important for this team to be able to do the things that they're trying to do. So I think his number one thing this offseason, outside of, you know, figuring out who he wants as a coaching staff next year on the offense, is making sure that he has leaders on that offensive side who are able to take the team through a full year and execute better than what they did this year.
Yeah. And so, yeah, let's shout out the guys that so far have made an announcement that they are coming back. Led by Jack Sawyer, defensive end, Ty Hamilton. Earlier, a few weeks ago, Tyleek Williams stated he was coming back. These are the tackle. Lathan Ransom's coming back for, I believe, a fifth year. He's more of that free safety position for our defense. And Donovan Jackson, left guard, made an announcement as well that he's coming back. But like you said, I mean, first off, I mean, we got three D linemen, right? And to be honest, all these guys will most likely be able to make it in the NFL, yep, drafted, free agent, some source of that nature. None of these guys will miss fall camp, that's for sure. I believe the three defensive linemen will all, if they decide to leave this year, they all would have probably got drafted by an NFL team. But they decided, yep, to come back. And like you said, that's just it's huge. I mean, you know, the guys like that, those guys with that type of experience, them coming back and making another run at it, just being who they are as players that we already seen them be capable of doing on the field, and how they're going to just kind of lead that defense back and kind of know what the standard is already for this defense that they kind of set from last year. It's huge. It's huge, and it's just something that can't be overlooked when we're trying to address our 24 team and who are we going to be as a unit. I guess we might as well bring up at this time the guys that decided to go to the draft. Matt Jones, Xavier Johnson, Steel Chambers, Mike Hall Jr. are entering the draft. So best of luck to those guys. So those guys play a lot of college football, so I can't blame them for entering the draft if they had to, if now's the time for them. So good luck to them. Obviously, we'll be keeping up with them and seeing what they're doing as well once the time kind of gets there. But yes,
shout out to those guys, man. Those, you know, they had good careers. Hopefully they can go into the draft and make long careers out of the NFL, which just stands for not for long, as we know. But yeah, shout out to them. One more point on the leadership thing. I think, you know, Ryan Day is beginning to learn his approach to be able to be successful in this new era of college football. So I don't like the romanticizing of bringing Urban Meyer back or bringing Jim Tressel back. Like, we got to stop that, man. It's like, yeah, Urban came on this show and said, I don't think I could coach in this era, right? Because, let's be realistic. Like, it'll be a whole new learning curve for any coach. Bring Woody Hayes back. it'll be such a new learning curve to be able to create roster construction, right? How do you construct a roster when guys are leaving? Guys are going to the NFL, guys are transferring. Like, you have to figure out your approach. And Ryan Day is starting to figure this thing out. So let's give him one more. Let's give him another shot. Let's give him another shot here. But yeah, shout out to those guys going to the league as well.
Yeah, so yeah, and right. They did a lot of work for Ohio State, and they deserve their opportunity to go on to the next level. We're excited. We're talking about some good players there that's going on and made that decision. And obviously, stay with us. A lot of guys still haven't made a decision. Yeah. And once that comes official, we'll kind of speak on that as well. Don't really like to talk a lot of rumors, but we got to speak about a rumor because it's a good one real quickly here. It's a rumor that Coach Day is searching for offensive coordinator to kind of come in and really be in control of the offense, really give that over to them to kind of handle while he's, you know, be overall that general of our football team. What's your quick thoughts on that? And you got a name? You got somebody you want to throw up there for the job?
No, I think, man, it's speculation of Dan Mullen. I remember Dan Mullen when he recruited me at when he was at Florida under Meyer. But no, I don't got a name. I think, you know, we've talked about it. I think it's a needed thing to bring in a guy who can run the offense, take a little bit of that pressure off of Ryan Day, and allow him to really be the CEO, really manage this team. Because, like I mentioned, this isn't the college football of old. This is a little different. A lot more you got to deal with in this era. And it needs someone at the top identifying issues, challenging coaches, challenging players, empowering coaches, empowering the leaders on the team to make sure that they're getting so much done that you as a head coach can continue to build this thing year after year after year. We see Jim Harbaugh doing it with his coaches. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh gets suspended and they don't miss a beat. And that's what is necessary in today's game. And I think he learned from what Missouri's coach said in that press conference, answering that question about, you know, I needed to take a look at myself in the mirror and start to delegate more. And I think it'd be helpful. But he has to find the right guy, right? We're talking about, yeah, you got to find an offensive coordinator. You got to step back. But it only works if he finds the right guy to be put in that position.
Yeah. Yeah, and when it comes down to it, I mean, you're still the head coach. You're still an offensive guy. So, you know, once you kind of come up with something, you know, scheme-wise, you're right there in a position to put that in. That's something you want to see. Once you get, you delegate a little bit. You get somebody in there that got some experience at maybe calling plays, got some experience at doing some of those things, and, you know, see what you could, how we could kind of take it from there. Before we end the show, we do have to shout out Coach Perry Elano. I'm not going to say he wasn't terminated, but his contract was not renewed. He was the safety coach for Ohio State. Yeah. We able to see him do some things, especially for our guys. I feel like we've seen some improvement out of Lathan Ransom this coming year. Obviously, the emerging of Josh Proctor, the things he did at the safety position. But his contract was not renewed, so we'll kind of keep an eye on what was going on there in that situation, who we're going to bring in. That's kind of the biggest thing regarding coaching news for our team. Obviously, our Buckeye fans want to hear a little bit more regarding coaching changes. Yeah, but so far, that's the only thing that took place. We got a big recruit coming in, commit Devin Sanchez. I believe he's number one corner, or at least a five-star corner out of Houston, Texas. He committed to the program for the 2025 class. So big news there. Also, young guys are on campus now. So if a guy that was in that 24 class that wanted to enroll early and join in spring ball, they should be on campus at this time and getting ready to start classes and working on things of that nature. So, but once again, once things are confirmed, you just kind of tune in with us. We'll announce it. We'll give our opinions. And, that's what we do here on Believe in Buckeyes. So that's going to be our show for today. We'd like to end all our shows with a OH.
Ayo.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.